This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back on the air. This is Martin Spriggs, and a little show about technology ministry. We're doing it for the 410th time, episode 410, for Tuesday, September 15th, 2015. Joining me, as usual, the lovely, the talented Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. How are you today?
I'm well. Excited to be doing a show again. So it seems like only yesterday we did one. So that's a good sign that we can't wait to do this each and every week. So show 410, it seemed like we were just doing show 400 just last week as well. That was fun.
I was back at Wells Tech Conference beginning of July, July 10th, I believe it was, that we had the privilege of recording show 400 in front of a live studio audience. What a thrill.
Yep. How was your weekend?
Oh, it flew by, as they normally do. But we've got a little taste of fall weather going on here in New Ulm, and it was very pleasant. How about you?
Good. I had a chance to spend some time with the hymnal committee, the Wells Hymnal Committee. The Wells Hymnal Project has a bunch of subcommittees. They have a technology subcommittee, and I'm privileged to serve on that. There's six or seven of us that meet face-to-face, about every 9 months. So the whole crew was in. So we had Friday and Saturday meetings and talked about some exciting new products. And I think that everybody's going to be really excited to see the new hymnal, because it won't be just the traditional paper-based hymnal. We'll have that, of course, but there's some digital products that'll come along as well. And that's what we were talking about. A lot of things that are possible now that were not possible back in 1993, I think, when the Christian Worship came out. So lots of good stuff going on. So enjoyed that.
Very good. Sounds like a good group to be a part of. We'll anxiously await what you guys produce for us.
Yeah. So we are excited to invite a guest co-host, so to speak, joining us, I think, for the first time, although longtime connection to the Wells Tech podcast, Alan Bunt from Wisconsin Rapids, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church there. Hey, Alan.
How you doing today? Glad to be here. Longtime listener and watcher.
Right. Really glad that you took some time and joined us. And you were with us at Wells Tech. In fact, you were a presenter. And that was one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about. But maybe even bigger news, you were the big winner, so to speak. We drew your lucky number. Your name was drawn in connection with kind of the grand prize. We did some giveaways for those of you that weren't present at Wells Tech. Some nice prizes, in fact. Chromebook Pixel, in fact, the latest version of the Chromebook Pixel. And you've had it now for a couple months, Alan. Still liking what you got?
I love it a little bit more every day. this little Chromebook Pixel goes everywhere I go.
That's a good sign that you found it useful, and yes. Not just useful for everyday tasks, but for ministry, and that was kind of the things we wanted to talk to you a little bit about. Before we dive into maybe the technology that you use and the things that you can do with the Chromebook Pixel, what are your responsibilities there? Tell us a little bit about your background and what you're doing at Good Shepherd there in Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, started volunteering videotaping services way back in 2007, I think it was, and then had a near-miss accident with a little video camera on a tripod perch we had. So I put together and built a video production system. So my main function here is I'm a producer of our live web stream and our video products. And then after that, I volunteered to make hymn software in an organ, and that was supposed to be short-term, and I'm still doing it.
those projects sometimes work that way.
Yes. So.
Now, look, are you in the church right now? Are you at your command central there?
I am in my production booth as we speak right here.
Okay. What's that camera? There's a camera above your maybe left shoulder. What is that one for?
That is one of my video production cameras, one of my remote control cameras here.
So that's used during the service?
That is correct.
Okay.
I can show you where that camera is pointing here right now.
Got it all under his control there on that Chromebook Pixel.
So you live stream your services, or at least you capture them in some kind of way. Okay, so now we're seeing the...
This is the main sanctuary.
Okay.
And this camera over my left shoulder, you'll see it in about 30 seconds here as I switch it in here. I'll go back to the hangout here. And it'll eventually pop up here. The stream is 30 seconds delayed from live, so there's mm-hmm. a few things it has to go through. Has to go all the way to Kansas City and then out to the world there. So,
gotcha. Okay. How long have you been doing that?
Since 2009.
Okay. Any sense?
Sunday 2009 is when I started.
Okay. Any sense for your audience? How many and frequency?
We averaged that I track, that I have visibility for. There, you see me over your left shoulder there.
There you go.
And then we average between 25 and 30 online viewers in the chat room and on the live stream page every Sunday.
Oh,
and there's more out there than that, and that's pretty good for a congregation of 300. So
mm-hmm. That is very good. Mm-hmm.
You're tucked in right by the organ there. Do you play?
I play with it.
He plays it using MIDI software.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
So let's talk a little bit about the Chromebook. You did a video, mm-hmm. kind of a demo of how you are using that in ministry. So why don't we take a look at that now, and then we can come back and talk about that.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Bunt. I'm from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. And purpose of this video today is just kind of do a overview of the Chromebook Pixel that I happen to be the gracious winner of at the Wales Tech Conference that was held in July. And as you saw this picture here, I was pretty excited about it. I've never won anything else in my life other than, you know, maybe a $5 or $10 door prize at some kind of conference or something. But I just want to show you this video because this is the computer that I won. Let's see if I can pull up. There was something else I wanted to show you here. Give you some details on it here. There we go. So what I've got is a Chromebook Pixel. It's got an Intel Core i5. 5200 CPU running at about 2.2 gigahertz. It's a quad core processor. Total capacity, memory capacity is about 8.5 gig. That's just internal built in. I have not added any external to it yet. As you can see here, I'm only using about 3 gigabytes right now. So, but what came with this Chromebook Pixel was a 1 terabyte subscription to Google Drive, which is where I keep everything at now. You know, that's good for, I believe, 2 or 3 years, and so far I will be keeping that. I'll have to pay for it after that point in time, but that's going to be well worth the money. Just the Chrome operating system, and it runs online here. Storage, like I said, I don't have any external drives. Display on this has capability going very high definition, even 4K in some case. So the resolution on this screen is fantastic. I just tell you, I have a couple galleries and then my location. And why is it say Eau Claire? I don't know why it says Eau Claire. It's just where the internet system is through here. So we'll get that out of here. I am recording this at onegoodshepherd.org, my church, where I use this for personal use and also for our church broadcast. That's how I achieved this. That's how I got to come to the Wells Tech Conference. And I want to say thank you to everybody for that. It was a fantastic conference. I got some good reviews out of it. But what I'm learning to do with this Chromebook is I'm trying to do as many things as I can with it as I can. With Chromebooks, they're an Chrome operating system, so everything that runs has to run through a browser or a browser extension or a browser app from the Google Chrome Store. I just learned today that I can connect to Android apps using a free app called ArcWelder. And this is one of them here. I'll show you. This is an amateur radio app that I happen to have that I'm a member of here. And I'll just show you what it sounds like here. We'll go ahead and connect to it here. This is running an Android app.
Welcome to the Echolink test server. This server records your transmissions and plays them back to help you adjust your transmitted and received audio. Please feel free to connect as often as you like.
Now, this is not a Chrome app. This is an Android app that runs this Echolink server. But for the use of a little tool here, I can load Android apps onto Chrome OS. And I just learned today that it works quite well here. I'm going to go ahead and click on transmit here. Theoretically, this is transmitting on amateur radio, and I do have a call sign, and I will announce my call sign and what we're doing here, and then I will release, and then you will hear it back. So stand by. This is KC9 VUP Central Wisconsin testing the Echolink Android amp on a Chrome OS operating system. This is KC9 VUP test out, and now you'll hear it back.
This is KC9 VUP Central Wisconsin testing the Echolink Android amp on a Chrome OS operating system. This is KC9 VUP test out.
And we'll go ahead and disconnect. And I can talk around the world on this. This is just one example of the OS, Chrome, the OSs I can use. But what I will do here is I will now show you what I use this for at my church. As you can see here, this is a chat room. This is the chat room of our live broadcast. And if I switch you over to our goodshepherd.org/live. Live web page, you will see me sitting there, and I'm actually streaming this, and I'll point wave at the camera here, and in 20 seconds you'll see me point wave. There's about a 30 second delay here, and you can see me operating the Chromebook, and I am using a mouse right here plugged into it. Works really well. And I should have planned this better to show you the delay here. So you're not going to hear any audio on this, because I don't have a mic. I'm not microphoned. I'm not mic'd for this. So you'll see me just wave at it there. So that's about the delay I have from live camera shot. That's using a different camera going through our live streaming service through my software to our website, but pulled up as in a Chrome browser on this Chromebook, and I'm showing the mouse there. So that's usually during the worship service I've got this running. I can also run this piece of software, which we have an overhead projector here, and this is totally remote control across my LAN here of the projector. So I can switch inputs on it, and I can turn it on and off and mute it, which comes in real handy. We do run a laptop here for presentation, and sometimes I switch to video that I send to it also. So this is the application for that. And of course, I can run all kinds of different apps here. One that I'm learning how to use is good old Hootsuite here. I'll just pull up the dashboard here real quick. Ooh, Instagram is available on Hootsuite. I got to look at that later here, so I'll have to have the paid version for that. So. These are some of the feeds that I run, that I monitor on Hootsuite, and I can. What I'm plan is to conversion over all of the social media that I do run on the Google Chromebook, right from the broadcast booth. I'm hoping it's going to work okay. I can take snapshots with it. Obviously, this is a snapshot that I downloaded of the actual computer itself, but. That's part of my production crew. This was the Sunday right after the Wells Tech Conference. I'm still wearing my badge there, as you can see, right about there. So, but these two young gentlemen here are my main operators who run the equipment at this desk that I'm sitting at here right now. And they run this Chromebook also during the worship service. And myself and my other gentleman back here, Sam, we sit next to him right here and run the organ. And I was pretty excited that day. And then so was the congregation when I turned the Chromebook around, stood up in front of the congregation, turned it around, used the webcam and grabbed a snapshot of everybody waving at the Wells Tech Conference. So it was pretty neat. And then I made this one, but this was in the parking lot of the Country Springs Hotel the Saturday afternoon after we were all done and I was getting ready to go home. So I did this right in the parking lot, still using the Wi-Fi from the hotel there. So this, you know, like I said, this was one at the Wells Tech Conference this year. And I want to thank Martin and Sally for putting out the invitation there. And I had a really good time. I did not have enough time to go to as many conferences as I wanted to, as many sessions as I wanted to. So next time we do this, I'm going to plan more time and I'm going to go to more. And this last shot here was taking that same Sunday morning here back at our church, just as everybody was coming into church Sunday morning. This was the first snapshot I took with this, so it's a little fuzzy. And one of the things I am going to add to this Chromebook is a webcam that faces forward. And so that's that. So that's about all I have for you here. Just wanted to let everybody know that we thank you very much for this very good tool that I'm going to use in the ministry here. And if you have any questions, just contact me at webmaster@onegoodshepherd.org and have a good day.
So in your video, you demonstrate a bunch of different options for controlling basically everything, you know, for your live stream. So apparently that is one application of the Chromebook is live streaming. Have you found other applications in the church or school setting, church and school office, that the Chromebook is suitable for?
I'm learning how to run Google Documents. That's going to be huge, getting converted over to use Google Drive more, because along with this Pixel came the 3 years of 1 terabyte of storage, so I've got all kinds of room for collaboration and such between my pastor and myself. So there's a little bit of planning that needs to go on before video and a little bit of pre-production work, making overlays and video images and such that I can do with this. Also, I can use this for part of the the audio podcast production that I also run also on this. So I don't actually use the Chromebook for video switching due to the fact that Chrome OS is browser-based only or application or extension-based only. And my video switching software is hardware-based and software-based. So that'll come someday, maybe. We'll see.
Needs to be more real-time, yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But I've offloaded some of the things I do on my video production machine onto the Chromebook. Like if I need to jump out to a website or throw some text in the chat room real quick or go check the live stream to make sure it's working, anything I can do in a browser, I can offload to this, and it's much, much faster than the other laptop I had in place. So it's a great improvement in speed.
Excellent. I remember talking to you the first night at Wells Tech Conference and you telling me that you had brought some older equipment along with you that you used all the time to demonstrate with in your session. And so maybe having a little bit of something new and really high-end in the mix has improved things a little for you, I'm guessing.
Oh, yes, definitely. The old laptop that I used to use on here...
No, he's dusting it off.
Yeah, there it is right there. It's in storage. It's backup. Probably never will work again, unfortunately.
Yeah, one of the neater things I like about Chromebooks is just how quickly they will load up. You can reboot, you can get things going, and it's just a matter of seconds. That's one reason that I really advise, you know, schools thinking about putting, you know, laptops in front of the kids is to use something like that. Very little disruption. You just open it up, you log in, and you're ready to go.
And the battery life is fantastic on this Pixel. I average between 8 and 9 hours if I leave it running all the time.
That's great for a laptop that size, especially a beautiful screen, touch screen, right?
Yes, touch screen. Better than high definition. I want to say it's almost like a flat, calm lake, as clear and as glassy as the screen is. You watch a 60 frame per second video on there, and it's like live. It's just like brand. It's fantastic.
Glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely. So talking about your attendance at Wells Tech Conference and specifically about the area that you presented in, we've alluded a little to running the MIDI organ. Your session title was Creating Worship Music for Non-Musicians. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what got you interested in that angle of serving in your church.
Okay. I am not a musician. I can play one note with one finger. Actually, I can do two or three now. I've learned a little bit. But started off with getting HymnSoft to work on our organ. HymnSoft is fantastic software. The new software is even better. But there are times when pastor wants to play a different hymn out of an older hymnal, say out of the Lutheran hymnal, one of the old ones, with the old stylings and the old... I can't think of the term of it, but the older tunes.
Older settings, right?
Yeah, older settings. So what you have to do is, you know, a regular organist would open up the hymnal, set it in front of him, and play it. Well, I don't play the organ. So we had to come up with a way to get sheet music or hymnal music out of a different book or a different sheet music into a piece of software that would play it back. I knew the organ would do it because it'll play MIDI files, whatever you want. So what I presented on was the software SmartScore that you can scan in sheet music and create MIDI file and edit it and adjust it to play the right style, I would call it.
So you're scanning in a piece of sheet music or a hymn, and it's basically taking that, OCRing it, converting it to a MIDI file that actually the instrument could play. How accurate is it?
Very accurate. Actually, it converts it to a notation file first, and then the software will play back out of the notation file. Mm-hmm. And then once I get everything done there, I make a MIDI copy of it, and then I can load the MIDI file into HymnSoft.
So you can tweak it in between if there's an error or something.
Correct.
You want to add. Okay.
Or, for instance, we only want to sing one or two stanzas or just the last stanza or the descant. I can do that, too. After that, my choir, our organist decided to retire, and she was also the pianist for the choir. Well, a couple years later, she decided to retire from that also. So hearing what I was doing on the organ, they said, can you do that with the piano for the choir, for all the choir accompaniment? Or at least get us started to see if it'll work. And two and a half years later, we're still doing that now, too.
You just got to quit volunteering for things. You're too good. But you have a crew that works with you. I know that in your video we saw, you know, you have a nice group of young men that help with the video streaming and things. Do they help with the organ responsibilities as well?
Yes, I've actually gotten to the point where I have a couple of young gentlemen. One is my son, 12 and 13 years old, and I've got two or three different people that help me sit at the organ and run the organ. Because it's not totally automated. It's as automated as much as I can get it. On Sundays, I'm pretty much back to a supervisory role. I just make sure things happen when they're supposed to, and my young crew runs it.
That's great.
Or I'll sit at the organ, and I'll run the organ, and just kind of supervise. And then I'm actually looking to find a couple people to run the supervisory position, so I can go sit with my wife in a pew and enjoy the service. That's
great way to involve people in serving and getting them while they're young and interested in technology. It seems like a win-win-win. So,
I had a young gentleman that did the video for 4 years. He's now in college, and him and I worked together and devised how we like to have things done, which each with his own little style. and now I have another young crew that's just as good or maybe even better than he is, and he's 13. So I got a few years before he runs off to college on me, so I got a couple of good backups. It's working out quite well, and that gives me time to relax and think about post-production and actually listen to the sermon. Because when busy pushing all the buttons, you don't have time to really listen as much as you should.
So is all this your, did you kind of dive in here, or did you work closely with the pastor that's there, or were there other people involved with this? How did this all kind of come together? I'm sure there are other congregations who are probably in the exact same position you are, and wondering, you know, what they should do.
I would say I dove into it for the simple fact that I wanted to sit down and run a camera instead of standing up. That's how it kind of got started. And then we were producing a DVD media for our local public access channel. The streaming, that kind of grew from that. Mm-hmm. And some of the congregation weren't too keen on it, but everybody's in full on board now. So it's once they've seen it and how useful it is to our at-home people and our members in Ecuador and in northern Minnesota. So we've got members in Florida also now. So
Ecuador and northern Minnesota, those are almost the same, like just these really distant lands.
The funny part is, Martin, you probably know him. You might know him, Dr. Carl Kunzel, retired missionary down in Ecuador.
Okay, yeah. Now, you were telling us before we went live here that map on you over your right shoulder there is, or behind you, is a, you've got all your connections from your digital work map there.
Yes, and we have got one in Australia and a new one in Guam, military member who's now home from deployment now. I even have one in Egypt, regular watcher in Egypt. So, but quite a few in the States and two or three in Europe.
Oh, wow.
That's every tremendous. New contact, we put a new pin up there. So,
yeah, and I'm assuming you worked at this, you chipped away at it. This was not just kind of a, you know, one day it wasn't there and the next day it was. You just kind of added and figured it out and just stayed with it.
Yeah, I started with a pretty good base. Started with two cameras to start off with, and video switching and a soundboard here, which runs in addition to our PA system, so I can run productions without the church PA going to also.
Mm-hmm.
And then piece by piece added to it, and I can now feed video out of my feed to the large screen in front of the church. The really nice thing about that is we're a small church, but we still do have people that, we're average Lutherans, and they sit in the rear pew. And pastor has his children's devotion, people in the rear couldn't see it, so they'd get up and stand in the aisle and watch it. Well, they don't have to do that anymore because I can take the same video that I feed out over the internet with a close-in shot of the camera and turn it around and send it right back to the projector so the whole congregation can see what's going out front on the projection screen. That turned out as an additional project that was fantastic. So we use that every week.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciated you taking the time, first of all, today to talk to us, but also your willingness to do a session at Wells Tech, and we look forward to having you come back and do more as we do more of these conferences. Can you stick around for a little bit for our picks of the week and share maybe your own pick this week? Mm-hmm. Why don't we jump into that section? We'll move that up in the program, so to speak. So each week we do our picks of the week, and we always let our guests go first. So what did you come up with for this week?
My pick for the week is based on the Chromebook Pixel. Again, with the Pixel, everything is browser-based. So I'm kind of like Sally here. I've got multiple tabs open on top. but I needed a way to listen to my podcast and to listen to you guys on the Chromebook because iTunes does not run on Chrome OS. So with it's cloud space or cloud-caster.com, and you can add in video and audio podcasts from this website here. And I'll go ahead and log into mine here, if it'll let me. And this is, you know, this is a list of my podcasts, for instance, and you know, and here's the Well Stack, the video. I can do the video or the audio. And then there's a, as you can see, I got a little catching up to do. I'm a little behind schedule, but I've listened to the recent ones. But let's see, one of these did not work here, but you know, for instance, the old the Convention Tech one.
Oh, so you can do audio or video there. Awesome.
Yes. Sometimes it plays, sometimes it doesn't. It might be because we've got...
you got a lot of stuff going on.
Got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention on this is this is the i5 version. Let me turn the screen sharing off here. This is the i5 version, and it's only got 8 gigabytes of RAM, 8 gigabytes of memory. So I use that up pretty quickly. So I went ahead and purchased a SD card, 128 gigabytes, so I've got room there. So it frees up the 8 gigabytes for all the stuff I like to run on it all at the same
time.
Sure,
and that's going to be your fastest memory there. So,
yeah, so.
But your video is very smooth, your audio is excellent, so it's performing pretty well, especially for a CPU-intensive application like Google Hangouts.
But listen to my podcast. You know, I take this in the car with me, and anywhere I've got Wi-Fi access, I can listen to whatever I would so choose or work on. So that's my pick of the week.
Very nice.
Awesome. Appreciate Thanks for that.
Sally, you want to go with your pick?
My turn. And this week it came across my desk from my friends at Smart Brief that they had published a new report on ISTE 2015. So ISTE is the summer, it's a group who puts on a summer conference each year, and they labeled it as the year's biggest K-12 ed tech trade show. So they, after the conference finished, late June is the timing of the conference each year, they took their time and put together a really nice PDF that you can download from their site with a report on the entire conference. There's some advertising at the beginning, but when you get into it, you can read some good articles about the keynote speaker and what she had to say, and just links to some of their favorite things that they saw at the conference. So I think it's a good read, one that, you know, can bring you up to speed a good bit on some of the major hot topics that happened at ISTE this summer. And again, I got this from a group called Smart Brief, and there are Smart Briefs out there on all different things. It's basically an email that you can sign up for. It's delivered each weekday, and they have them on different industries. So this one in particular is on educational technology, and they basically peruse the headlines around the United States and around the world and share different articles and things. So on a weekly, on a daily basis, you can just browse the headlines, what's making news in educational technology. And so it's one of my favorite emails to receive each day, and sometimes they give you some added bonus content like this ISTE report. So I'll have a link in the show notes if you're interested in signing up for the Smart Brief, a link to where you can do that, and also a link to where you can get the PDF overview of ISTE 2015.
Very nice. ISTE is one of my life's goals, so to speak, would be to attend ISTE one of these years, because it sounds like just a great place to be if you're interested in educational technology, and I think that would
Definitely.
Add a lot. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to my pick, and I'll do a quick screen share, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a product that's been around quite a while, but it kind of came into the news last week when Apple had their big event and announced a new Apple TV. My pick is actually the current Apple TV. They've reduced the price. They did that a few months back, and I bet it'll actually go down a little bit further now when the new Apple TV comes out. But right now, the current Apple TV, the old Apple TV, is $69. Pretty good price tag for a nice bit of technology. And I bring it up because I believe there's application, especially in presentations or in classrooms, where you want to send your content, the screen content from, it doesn't have to just be an Apple device, but your laptop, your tablet, whatever, to the projector. So there's application here for that at a pretty low price. There are different tools, software tools that you can use, so you don't necessarily have to have an Apple device. If you do, it's easy to share, share your screen through something called AirPlay. Those of you with Apple devices know a little bit about AirPlay, and it'll come up. The Apple TV will come up as one of the sources that you can AirPlay to. But if you don't have an Apple device, there is some really good software out there from a company called Air Squirrels. This is part two of my pick. They have three products. Two of them I'm going to mention here. One is called AirParrot 2, and that allows you to mirror or stream your Mac, PC, or Chromebook wirelessly. So it will stream it to any AirPlay compatible device like an Apple TV. So you don't necessarily have to be all Apple. You can have this software. You click a button and you'll be able to pick your output device or where you want to stream to, and you can get whatever is on your screen. So this is their software available for Mac. Like I mentioned, Mac, PC, or even Chromebooks. The second product that they make that's of note is called Reflector. I think we've talked about this on the show before. In fact, I think it's been a pick of mine. Basically, that's the receiver end. So you could install this on your computer, whether that's Mac or PC, and it would act just like the Apple TV does. So let's say you've got your computer hooked up to the projector, but you don't want to be tethered to that computer. Maybe you want to walk around with a tablet, Android tablet, or an iPad, and walk around the room and be able to share that screen and have it show up on the projector. Reflector allows you to hook up your computer and then stream to your laptop, just like it was acting as an Apple TV, and get that up on the big screen. These products are not free, although there's a 30-day trial. I think each one of them by themselves is $14.99, so not super expensive. So you could get into this plus the Apple TV for about $100, but depends on your needs. But I find them to be very reliable, and they work over your Wi-Fi. But they're making improvements all the time. The second version, they've made some significant improvements. There's even some tools for educators, which would allow each student on their Chromebook to install this software and be able to view what's on the screen of the instructor, so they could have it right in front of them. So it's kind of a cool setup. This software is evolving. I don't know that it's always bulletproof, but it's probably worth a try with the free trial, especially see if it works in your scenario. So,
Martin, would you have time for a part two for me?
Absolutely. Guests are king on our show. So, what would you like, Alan, to share?
Well, I'm just going to shamelessly plug onegoodshepherd.org website here. This is where all our content resides. It's onegoodshepherd.org is the main site, and you can go from there. And for the tech people out there wondering how we do video here, there is a page here that gives all of our video setup, and it's got some live videos and such.
Oh, very nice. Instructional stuff. Cool. Yeah,
from old to new there. So just thought it maybe I'd share that real quick for anybody who's curious there.
And appreciate that.
They can contact me anytime they want if they got any questions, and we'll certainly try to help them out.
Awesome. Yeah, maybe we'll have you back on the show to go into some of those details. Looks like some familiar products there with VidBlaster and your switcher there. So, Alan, so many thanks to you for joining us on the show. We're going to let you go, and we'll circle back with you. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me on the Wells Tech podcast and in the Wells Tech conference. I really enjoyed that a lot. That was a lot of fun. So I'll have a good day.
Very good. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
All right, Sally, shall we carry on? We skipped a couple segments, so let's circle back to our news and tech segment. And some news coming out of Microsoft, and I am a fan of the Office suite. I use it every day, as do you, Sally, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just share a quick screen here. And we learned just recently that Office 2016 for Windows launches on September 22nd, so next month. They've overhauled the interface. I think it's cleaner. I've been trying the beta. But one of the new features that I'm kind of excited about is real-time editing by multiple people within the desktop apps. And you could always do this, or at least recently with an Office 365 subscription, on their web apps. But now you can also do it on the desktop app. So you kind of get that Google Docs feeling, although you can do it in the comfort of a desktop app, which there's a lot more power in the desktop apps than there is in the online apps. And so lots of opportunity to do some collaboration. I think it ramps up the productivity a little bit just to offer that feature. And they've done some other things with the interface, made it a little bit easier to use, a little easier to look at, some new design themes, those kinds of things, and some overall improvements. But anybody that's got Office 365, that'll be an automatic download for you. You can go ahead and upgrade to Office 2016. And so that's coming up next week.
Excellent. I have news to share as well from The Verge. An article that came out that talks about the 10 most important things from Apple's iPhone 6S event. And they go through some of the announcements that were part of the day. I guess the thing that I took away from the announcements and the new features on the 6S, the most impressive thing to me is the camera on the new iPhone, in that it takes something called live photos, I believe, where when you push the button, instead of just getting the photo at that moment in time, it actually takes a series of photos and stores what was happening before and after you push the button. So if someone's eyes are closed in the actual picture, you can actually advance the frame somewhat and get a better version of your picture. Seems like some really cool technology. If you send these live photos to someone who doesn't have iOS 9 and, you know, the setup to interpret it, it's just going to be a plain JPEG file just like normal. But for those that have it, they would be able to see this live experience as well. So yeah, that seems really cool.
Some have called it the Harry Potter feature. You know, if you've seen the Harry Potter movies and some of the animated images on the newspapers that they read or whatever, the pictures hanging on the wall. I think what it does is it actually takes a second and a half video before and after. So what that tells us is that when you're pointing that camera, when you're in camera mode, it's always recording into its, what we would call its buffer. And then when you actually take the shot, it remembers the minute, the second and a half before and the second half after. So that you, if you press, or what they call 3D touch, or press harder on the screen,
hard press.
Mm-hmm. that enables this whole mode, which it is really kind of cool, because it gives you a little bit more of the flavor of what's in the scene if there's motion or movement. So it gives you a little bit more of that. Now, we should say that you can turn that off. You don't always have to keep that on if there are privacy concerns, or you want to use up space on your camera phone or in the online storage. You can turn that off, but the camera is supposed to be better, 12 megapixels, so that's going to give you better pictures. And to me, Sally, the iPhone has always been one of the better cameras on any smartphone I've ever tried. So I think it takes great pictures in low light. Certainly outdoor pictures are beautiful. So I think they're continuing to get better at that.
They've beefed up the front-facing camera and the video as well, so it's not just the,
yeah,
the normal
camera. Yeah, you can take 4K video, although there's very few things you can play that back on. But so that's going to suggest that you need a lot of storage. And they still have not, for whatever reason, they still have not upped the lowest model's memory, onboard memory. It's still 16 gigabytes, and that'll get chewed up in a hurry. So it goes 16, 64, 128. So they kept the prices the same, but they did not up the that lower tier, which if you want to do any kind of picture taking or video taking, that's going to suck that storage down pretty quickly. So if you're using your iPhone for photo taking or video taking, you may want to think about not maybe getting the cheapest one, but going up a rung.
So would it be safe to predict that we might hear a pick of the week from Martin Spriggs on an iPhone 6S? Stay tuned, folks. We'll see.
And they got a new rose gold color. I can tell you one thing that I can predict is I will not have the rose gold.
You aren't going pink on us, huh?
No.
Not going to happen.
I don't know if I would have been pink.
One more news and tech from our friends at Hootsuite, where you can manage all your different social media in one location. Just recently, they've added to their social media domain by adding availability to manage Instagram. And this is a big one, Martin, I think, because Instagram is mobile device only. You can't manage it on your computer. So it's really a hassle to log in and out, like, of your personal account to get into your more corporate account or whatever it may be. And being able to manage Instagram from Hootsuite, I think, is a real plus. So kudos to Hootsuite and Instagram for making that connection.
Yeah, we've talked about Hootsuite before. Just an essential tool for any webmaster out there who is also managing their social presence, Facebook, Twitter, those kinds of things. What biggest kind of the killer feature for Hootsuite is the ability to schedule your social network posts. So that's it's kind of a must-have, and it's very inexpensive. In fact, there's a free version that works in many cases. So, shall we move on to Wells now? What's going on in Wells today?
Happening in Wells World. I think we've mentioned these before in the past, but just a reminder that there's a current online Bible study led by Professor Keith Wessel, pastor on the MLC faculty. Mm-hmm. And he's leading a Bible study currently on the book of Elisha. I'm looking for it on the screen. Yes. And that's happening Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. So check out the links at wellstech.wells.net to get over to our interactive faith page. We'll have a link directly to our live stream page where you can watch the live stream. And then we'll have a link to where you can download study guides for each of the lessons. So if you missed the first lesson, you can get caught up. Those are archived for you. And then it's a great opportunity to maybe gather a group of people around the old computer screen and watch the online Bible study. There's breaks during the Bible study time for group discussion and that kind of thing. So really neat and well-received event that Wells sponsors, this interactive faith
and if
Bible
you
study.
Missed the first week, that's okay. It's all recorded. It's online. You can play it back so you can get caught up. And they'll all be available, you know, indefinitely into the future as well.
And those Wells Tech folks over at Wells, they have a new photo challenge for the month of September. Wells Tech is looking for photos of school and Bible study. So if you're so inclined, we'd really appreciate donations of images through our photo challenge page. That's at wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge. Just fill out the form. You'll be entered in drawings for some great photo-related prizes. And you'll help us build up our Flickr image gallery. I think I had opened that up, but I don't know where that tab got away from me. So
I can imagine you losing a tab in that.
Trust me. Well, you kind of reorganized things on me, so that threw me off. But trust me, folks, our Flickr image gallery is worth visiting. It's full of public domain images that are appropriate for ministry settings, and we certainly would love to build it up more with school and Bible study images. So please do consider donating.
Very nice. All right. I think it's about time for community feedback.
And I'll take a deep breath because we got a lot to share here this week. Let's see if I can share my screen one more time. And we'll start off with some community feedback from the lovely Debbie Spreggs, Martin's wife, who shared iCivics.org, a website with all kinds of great resources in the social studies spectrum for those that are studying government. They've got games and lesson plans, WebQuest, all kinds of things that you can make use of at iCivics.org. So a great addition. For anyone who's in the social studies area.
Yeah, she was really excited about this and wanted to share it. It is a project that was taken under the wing or maybe even started by Sandra Day O'Connor, Supreme Court Justice, and she felt it was important to get this material in a usable fashion, generate interest, and encourage kids to understand how the judicial system works, and it can be extremely complicated, of course. So I think they've done just a tremendous job at trying to not dumb it down, but just make sure that it's easy enough to understand. They provide teachers' guides, you know, all kinds of materials here, some fun activities for the kids to enjoy learning civics. We used to, I don't know about you, Sally, but we used to have a civics class. Mm-hmm. Grade school. That was actually one of my favorite classes. Just had a good teacher, and this would have been great to have these kinds of resources available then.
Yeah, I took it in junior high as well, and it was a fun class. All right, next up, keeping it all in the Witte family, we heard from Pastor Dan Witte, who didn't want his big sister to outdo him, apparently, and he shared a link to instantchurchdirectory.com, and he was really just looking for feedback from our Wells Tech audience as if anyone's used this website. It looks like a place where you can take digital photos and share them online with appropriate privacy around them and things. So if there's anyone out there that has experience with instantchurchdirectory.com, we'd love to hear from you and hear about your experience, whether you're pleased or whatever, with the website. It looks like it's very professionally done. So interesting find from Pastor Witte.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think everybody is looking at those kinds of solutions. If it's not baked into your church management solution, a lot of opportunity there to increase awareness of who you're worshiping with, and you know, who your brothers and sisters in Christ are there at your church or organization.
That's right. Martin, we had some follow-up email from Pastor Steve Daly, who was our guest on Wells Tech last week as we kicked off our brand new book series with All Your Heart. We surprised Pastor Daly. We didn't really talk about it in our interview with him, but we decided to publish the book chapter by chapter using Microsoft's new Sway product, where it's kind of interactive and it's responsive to your screen size and does a lot of really nice formatting for you and things like that. And Pastor Daly wrote to tell us that he also had decided to use Sway, but he's using it for his catechism students. So he's taken some of his traditional PowerPoint type presentations and added them to Sway and let Sway do the formatting and things. And one thing he was a little challenged with was you can't really control font sizes and things. So some of his slides, unlike our book, which was pretty wordy, had a lot of text involved with a writing of a book, his slides would just have maybe a label or a little bit of text, and he wanted to be able to sometimes control the text sizes. But there's not a real in-between kind of formatting. It's either kind of a big thing or it's just traditional text. And, you know, that's part of the draw of Sway. You literally, and I'll just reveal a little bit of our storyline here, the editing mode, you just put the stuff in and you don't have a lot of control besides maybe adding some bolding or italics. It does all the work for you in terms of layout. And I guess what he's saying is it's kind of good and bad. He'd like to have maybe a little bit more control or a few more levels of options as he's working with it for presentation purposes. So interestingly, he submitted his ideas to Microsoft, so he's hoping maybe they'll listen and adjust Sway somewhere along the line to be a little more, have a few more layers of formatting. So we'll see how that develops.
Yeah, it's definitely not a PowerPoint replacement. It's a different animal. For instance, in PowerPoint, you can have a lot more, obviously, control, like Pastor Daly was talking about. You also have a place for speaker notes, those kinds of things, and Sway has really nothing like that. So you're going to have to keep those speaker notes someplace else, you know, maybe a OneNote file or whatever. But Sway basically is trying to just take your content, make it as visually appealing as possible, as few clicks as possible. Plus, you can embed all kinds of things, and it's got some neat features, especially if you're viewing it on different size devices as well, which PowerPoint obviously is not well-suited for that at all. So if you want to be able to have it display equally as nice on a big computer screen or a big projector screen or an iPad or an iPhone or some kind of tablet or smartphone, Sway does a nice job at that. PowerPoint, not as much.
Definitely. All right. A brief mention from longtime listener Jason Winjet that there's a new Sony camera out, and there's a review that he linked to on our DIGO page. You can head over and read more about the Sony SRG300SE-PTZ camera. How's that for a mouthful?
TZ. Is there list of price there, Sally? I didn't look at it.
Yeah, it doesn't on this particular. Or maybe it does further down. It didn't jump out at me, at least, on this particular review. So, but Jason said, looks like it would work well with streaming. It definitely has the pan-tilt zoom capabilities, wire audio from a microphone or your sound system to it, connect it to your broadband, and you'd be up and going. So he thought it was a very favorable new solution available for camera work. And he also reminded us that for his presentation at Wells Tech Conference, which was called Streaming Without a Canoe, he put together a whole page of resources. And we have that linked from our Wells Tech Conference website, and we'll include the direct link in our show notes as well. But he's put together a ton of great stuff here that I think would be helpful for anyone wanting to get into that streaming space. So.
Yep.
Thanks, Jason, for your work on that.
I'm looking it up here. Looks like it's about, it's not cheap. It's about $3,000, $2,800 on B&H Photo. So you're not going to go out and buy 10 of these, but I'm assuming that the video quality is just outstanding on this. Yeah, just looking at the specs, 30 times optical zoom. So this would do well probably in any sanctuary.
Cool. Excellent. Next up, just to mention that there's a lot going on over on the Wells Tech listserv. So that's the place where Wells Techers can converse with one another. You sign up, you receive email directed to the listserv, and you can reply to emails and things like that. And most recently, there's been some good discussion around the question of distance video conferencing. And someone was asking, is Google Hangouts really the best way to go? We've had mixed reviews and things like that. I think one of the greatest responses I read was, it's really up to the receiver or the participant in the Hangout and their access capabilities, whether they have high enough bandwidth to receive the video and to send video out. Or maybe they should scale it back and not use the video option, but just use audio or whatever. So all in all, I think Google Hangouts got a really great review. I will say that Ben Polzine pointed to his Wells Tech conference presentation, another one of our presenters who presented on video conferencing in the church, and we'll have a link to that out in the show notes. At least one person, let's see, maybe it was Troy Schultz, who pointed to a particular webcam that he highly recommended. It's a Logitech C920.
Right,
happens
here
to be the webcam I'm staring at right now.
And that's one I got right here too.
Yeah. So $69.95, and you just can't beat the quality. It's a full 1080p HD video camera.
And I found that even the microphone is actually very good. On these. So we've got these in our conference rooms here at the CMM, and whenever we have people when they're using Skype, I say just use the microphone for here, even if it's in a medium-sized conference room. It just does a nice job. So, and pretty compatible with almost any system too.
Yeah, very good. So definitely lots more information out on the listserv. You can get to the archives and read up if you're interested in that distance video conferencing conversation. And then finally, just to mention that, and I should maybe stop screen sharing, recently, actually as an offshoot of the Wells Tech Conference, Pastor James Aderman and Emil Burgess decided to team up and offer a technology ministry intersections breakfast in the Milwaukee area. So a little small group is forming around the use of technology in ministry, and they had their first meeting, and they've decided how, what format they're going to take. I think they're going to probably oftentimes meet at a church for a Saturday morning breakfast time, have some networking time before and after their meeting, have someone come in and speak, but then really just open up the conversation, kind of EdTech camp style, like what we did with our Wells Tech camp in the past, where just everybody bring their ideas and things and share with each other and learn from each other. It sounds like a really great format. They are meeting again in January 9th to talk about building the perfect website, and in April, on April 9th, for video. So great topics ahead for them. Not really a super aggressive calendar or anything, just a group of people that want to meet together maybe on a quarterly basis to talk about tech and ministry intersections. I'm loving it. So
yeah, continue the Wells Tech approach of finding those intersections. And they've got they actually did some great work when they met the last time. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there because I was tied up that weekend, but I'm definitely going to be there in January and actually speak to their topic, building the perfect website. But they talked about projection of worship aids, using Logos for Bible study, networking, Skype, GoToMeeting kinds of things, legal issues involved in using technology, social media, marketing, PowerPoint, best practices, information management, data security. Sounds like the list of topics we had at Wells Tech, and maybe even more. So certainly pray for them, and this would be, if you're in the Milwaukee area, check it out. I think this would be a great opportunity for networking, if nothing else, but hearing some great conversations about intersections between technology and ministry.
Yep. I think that's going to do it for community feedback. I did have a ministry resource to share today as well, Martin, and it's from our friends at freebibleimages.org. And just a quick mention that they've added a couple of Bible stories with imagery suitable for a preschool age. So someone donated some really nice drawings of the story of Zacchaeus and also Daniel in the lion's den. And so I hope this is a new area that they'll expand upon, because I think, they have some great line-drawn imagery for a whole lot of Bible studies, but maybe a little bit advanced. These are more cartoony looking and appropriate for the younger crowd. So a great addition from our friends at freebibleimages.org.
It looks like they even have a whole interface for presentation of these. So you don't just download them and then play them yourself. You can use their interface and go through the slides. So very cool. Nice find. Mm-hmm. Sally, we have a featured video this week that is maybe near and dear to your heart.
We do. It's from my friends at St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in New Ulm. And we got together recently and recorded a video. I'm just going to mute it because I can't talk and play it at the same time. Recorded a video from Matthew West's song called Do Something. And each of us just came in and did these little short video clips holding signs, and very much in the style of Matthew West's own music video that he did for this song, but actually featuring my friends at St. Paul's and a couple of people from my own family. So it was a lot of fun to be a part of, and I think that the final product is just excellent, just kind of motivation for that sanctified living that we're all happy to do, and thankfulness for the gift of salvation from our Savior. So it's a lot of fun, and maybe you can use it in your congregation too. So we've added it to our promo playlist for Wells Tech.
What I like about it, Sally, is it puts a face on ministry. It's not just text and event. You know, we start at this time and we have this event, blah blah blah. I mean, it really says, hey, we're a group of people, not programs. And that's kind of a neat part about the video, where you see real people, and just the expressions are kind of cool, as people are, you can tell they're having fun with it. I'm assuming you did too. And there you are. Look at that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to do.
That's cool. Okay. So we should probably wrap things up. Next week, we have another guest going to come on the show, and we're going to talk to Tom Plowman. He is one of the leaders at the Core in Appleton. And he was also a presenter at Wells Tech on worship technology. We're going to talk to him about. He's done some really cool stuff, and I'm going to enjoy this conversation where we can kind of continue the dialogue about how technology may or may not change worship, but certainly you have opportunities to use some tools that were never at our disposal before. So looking forward to Tom Plowman coming on the show next week. Thanks to each and every one of you for joining us once again. This was another jam-packed show. Hope you got a lot out of it. We'll be back with 411 next week. Bring your friends. Remember, we record the show live every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Time. So one of the advantages of tuning in live, if you can make it, is that you can contribute to the show. You can ask a question, make a comment, contribute to the discussion. We'd love for more people to do that. We have a few that do that every week. We'd like more. It just kind of adds another dimension to the show. And if you can't do that, we always have this available and all kinds of different channels. The iTunes store, it's there. You can find us online at wellstech.wells.net and all kinds of ways to view or listen to our show. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.